Praise the Lord. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. It's good to have you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Today's the 13th?
13th, yeah.
Okay, today's the 13th. You only have 12 more days to Christmas. Tomorrow is our 14th annual Christ Haven for Christmas, Christ Haven for Children Christmas benefit. And Peggy, you can come, and you don't have to wash dishes this time, because they're providing the food and their staff. So you can come enjoy if you want to come. It's at 5 o'clock till 7. We provide them food, we serve them, we give them hats and crosses and jingle bells on their wrist and all their wish list. And so far, we've raised over $104,000. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. The Lord.
Yeah, and
lots
I can't
of money.
A lot of money, and I can't give you the exact numbers right now. And I know that we've given, I think, to 4,679 people. Justin Community Closet, they started today distributing, and so we're done with them. We probably provided them with 300 toys, and we bought 3 sales racks of 12 months to 5 T-Tollers, and we bought all the jeans that were under $15 because they were all on, there was a bunch on sale, and I got about 60 teen jeans, so they were all happy about that. And then in Grapevine, the Grapevine Relief and Community Exchange, Grace, we delivered $30,000 of things to them, toys and items that they requested, mainly for the teen kids. They have 750 families and 2,000 children that come through there. Justin has 3,000 that come through. And then Salvation Army in Denton, the Lord spoke to me several years and told me to go there. So we've been giving to them ever since. And we delivered Saturday, I can't remember, Friday. I think I delivered Friday. And she told me that she had 170 elderly that she didn't have anything for. So I'm still raising money. So if you'd like to give to the charity, just write on your offering for children or for Christmas so that we can help provide for those 170 elderly. We're getting close, so come to the party if you can, and there's a book back there if you want to see about last year's. You can look at what we did, and God's just so awesome, because all these kids at Christ Haven, they're all foster kids, abused, abandoned, and neglected children. I mean, there's a 9-year-old girl that wears a size 14 women's pants. There's an 11-year-old girl that wears a size 18 pants. That's 3 times the size of me. You know, so there's something terrible that's been happening in their lives, and all their stories are bad. They don't have good stories. Some of the Indians are really good, like Kiera. She just graduated. She's 19. She's in a transitional cottage. She's been there ever since we've been going there, and she graduated from dental school. So the teen moms, one that's she had children when she was 13. She has a 3-year-old and an 18-month, and she's 17, just graduated from high school, and she's going to nursing school, and they're sending her to do all of this. And there's another teen mom that they're doing that. So they help a lot of children to get back into the world and change their lives and not be messed up. Anyway, so praise God. Thank everybody for helping and continuing to help.
Yes, praise the Lord. We are so grateful, and today we're going to talk about Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start with verse 1, go all the way through verse 34 if we can get time. To talk about what happens when you give, you know, and how you should give and everything, because this is a time of giving. It's amazing what God has done and what He's doing. I don't know, I'm not a prophet. I've never been a prophet, didn't feel like I'm a prophet, but I've seen a lot of things this year. And the other day, I don't know if any of you have seen the president, when he said, "Some of you think I have a hidden agenda." Did anybody see him say that? And he said, "I do. I have canceled the Christmas party at the White House. The first time in the history of America. The president has canceled the Christmas party." He has a hidden agenda. He's bringing hundreds of Muslims into our country. Even whenever the state of Texas and the governor of the state of Texas says no, when the attorney general and everything says no, we don't want these people until they're certified, checked out as you know, legal people. We don't want you just to turn this place loose. But Obama, through executive order, is bringing hundreds of them in anyway, against the wishes of the people and the government of the state of Texas. When the sheriffs of the local areas tell you to arm yourselves, get ready for a war, that's kind of scary. I'm glad I have Psalm 91. And Dave said he don't need a gun. I may not need one either, but I got one. I hope I don't need it. I got Psalm 91, but I got one. I don't have one. I got a bunch of them. You know, and just like I was down getting some airplane parts, battery for one of the airplanes yesterday, Friday. Yeah, Friday. And a young man was there, and I asked him, I said, well, what do you think's going on in our country? He was a good, hardworking aircraft mechanic. He said, well, I have let my carry license lapse, but he said, tomorrow, Saturday, I'm going to go get it renewed. He said, well, think what's going on. I'm going to protect myself. I thought to myself, I never thought I'd ever see something like this happen in America. But you know, as we talked about last week, in Deuteronomy 28, the Lord clearly said in Deuteronomy 28, because you did not worship me and praise me for the abundance of all things. Now, then, how many people do you know in the church that have had an abundance of all things and they've not worshiped him? In fact, you try to talk to some people that call themselves Christians, you try to talk to them about Jesus, and they'll plainly tell you they don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear anything about this Jesus guy. You can talk about him at church. But instead, they ought to be on their knees praising him. Amen. Lord, I thank you that I have this house. I thank you that I have this truck. I thank you that I have this car. Thank you that I have my wife or my spouse and my children. I praise you, Lord, and I'm going to church Sunday, and I'm going to make sure I give you at least 10 or 15 or 20% of everything I made this week to the church. Amen. Because the first 10% of it belongs to you. And I don't want to steal from you because I don't want to be under a curse. We need to be praising and worshiping the Lord. Let me tell you, the majority of the church is not doing that. The majority of the church is not obeying God's word. We come to church on Christmas and Easter, some of us. Some don't even come that often. And you want to wonder, you want to know what's going to happen? Well, wonderful things are going to happen, I know, for those that know Jesus. But, you know, the sad part about it is there ain't many of us know Jesus. There's really not. And you don't realize until you start talking to people how few people know anything about God. We think we're okay. We think it's going to be fine. But then you ask somebody, well, I want you to go to church with me Sunday. Are you a Christian? And they look around and say, well, don't talk so loud. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Don't tell anybody. Is that kind of the way we live? That's the way some people live. They're ashamed of Jesus. You know, I mean, they're ashamed of the King. But this is his birthday. And I'm going to tell you, when my honey bunny woke up this morning with a dream or a vision of seeing an attack on a mall somewhere, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but she saw that this morning when she woke up. She saw armed men attacking a mall. Yeah. Well, of course, the thing, beautiful part about it is we are a tiny little number of the people in the Metroplex. And there's literally hundreds of Muslims being brought in, and those Muslims are not Christians. They don't believe in Jesus. They believe in Allah. And when they look at you and you ask them, it's crazy the way we do business because we've never read the Quran. If you've never read the Quran, you have really missed a crazy book. This is the most wildest, stupidest book I ever read in my life. I've never seen anything so stupid in my life that whenever it says, if somebody that is not a believer in Allah asks you a question, it's okay for you to lie to them because they're an infidel. They're an idiot. You're to lie to them. You're purposely. So when somebody comes in and we're taking their information, are you a Muslim? Yes, I'm a Muslim. Have you ever had any problems anywhere with anybody? Oh, no, I'm a good person. I love everybody. So these people, you know, have you ever been involved in any kind of terrorist activity? Oh, no. And the other day when I was listening personally to a radio show, and this one Democratic lady senator, she said, well, we've done some research and only 5 to 20% of these people, these Muslims that are coming in, say they believe in jihad. Only 5 to 20%. So we just go ahead and let them come on in. I think, you know, what kind of an idiot do we have in Washington? If there is 1% of them that believes in jihad, that's too many. But if 5 to 15% believe in jihad, you know, if you don't know Psalm 91, if you ain't walking obedience to God's word, you better arm yourself with a gun because you're going to need it. I'm not here to scare you this morning. I'm just telling you, I don't think the church is at Psalm 91. The church I know, unless they're right here in this building today, most of the church I know don't have a clue what Psalm 91 says. You ever stop to think of what Psalm 91 really is? It's 911. It's time to call 911. But we're not there. So if you're not ready, if you don't know Psalm 91, you haven't hidden that in your heart, and if, when certain sheriffs and police officers of certain areas around here are telling people, get armed, get you a gun, be ready, because there's no telling what these people are going to do. And when Obama cancels the Christmas party, he's got a secret agenda. Do you know that this may be the most exciting Christmas we have ever had? I'm serious. I hate to think about where all these propane bottles that they're stealing. Yeah. You know, these little 5-gallon propane bottles, and they're going to put a bomb under the edge of that to bust that with a cell phone they're buying by the hundreds. All over in different malls and Walmart. And whenever I saw this sheriff the other day up in some country up north of here a little ways, he said when a bunch of foreigners from the Middle East come in and buy 50 to 100 cell phones, it's time to check these people out to see what's going on. He said, so when these people called us, he said, it's time for us to check this out. Let me tell you, if I'd have seen that and they're going in and they're buying this, you better do something. Because you can't do nothing. But we're past that point. We have done nothing for God too long. And the Lord clearly says in His Word, clearly, He says, because you have not, we talked about it last week. It's in the Scripture in Deuteronomy 28, verse 47 and on. Because you have not served me with thankfulness and worship me and plead for the abundance of all things that I've given you. Now you will serve your enemies, which I, God, will send against you to destroy you. It's going to get so bad, God, He really doesn't cut any corners in those next few verses when He said, because you didn't do what I said, there will be a famine come upon you and you will eat your children. That's what He said. Now that, you know, we can't even think like that, can we? No. You have never been that hungry in your life. And I hope you never will be as a Christian. But God's talking to the church. He said, because you did not worship me and praise me, I'm going to send your enemy against you. I'm going to send an enemy against you from a distant land that speaks a language that you don't understand. And they're going to come in and they're going to terrorize you. And there's going to be terror. God calls them terrorists. I'm going to terrorize you until you are fully destroyed. Who is He talking to? Everybody that won't put Him first. So like I say, what would you do if you heard a big noise and you run outside and looked and there was the biggest flame, biggest fireball you'd ever seen and you knew it was a nuclear bomb? What would you do? I called a friend of mine the other day. He's the same age I am. He's a cowboy, worked here in the Justin area all of his life. I said, what are you going to do if one morning we're out, say you're watering your cows or whatever, and you hear this burst and you look up and Dallas is going in one great big mushroom bomb? What are you going to do? I'm going to look at that bomb. God, I'm ready to come home. He said, because it's over. Ain't no use to run. I said, that's right. Ain't no use to run. You got to know that you know that you know that you know God. You got to be ready. I'm not saying you're going to get killed in this, but I'm saying the possibility is very good. And if you do, everything you've ever fought or struggled for ain't going to be worth a dime. Everything people have fought and fussed over, houses, cars, lands, everything that we've had knocked down, drag outs, and went to court, sued over stupid stuff when we got divorces and everything else because we couldn't make it, ain't none of that going to be worth nothing. Nothing. And that's coming. I think we're this close. I think we're so close. Every prophet that I've listened to in the last year has said by the end of this year, devastation is going to hit America. Well, it hasn't happened yet, but it ain't the end either, is it? We still got about, what, 15 days? 15 days. Like I say, if you don't know Psalm 91, you better learn it. You better hide in a secret place. If you don't stay in that secret place, you better carry your weapon with you. I don't remember exactly what date it is. Some of you may know, but the governor of the state of Texas, they have went and voted and said it's after, I think it's in February, that you will be allowed to carry a gun in you, on you, a pistol, anything, concealed, anything, at any time, anywhere with no problem.
January the 1st.
When is that?
January 1st.
Oh, that's January the 1st. Okay, so January the 1st. Well, like I say, if you're prepared like Dave is and you know that you know that you know that you know not Psalms 91 belongs to you, you don't need a gun. But I don't know many people that's there. I don't know many people. You know, sometimes I wonder if I'm there. Really? Really?
We're in trouble.
You know, I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. You know, Lord, am I really there? Am I putting you first in everything I do? You know, that's like that time when me and Eldon, we'd been working together for 2 weeks. It seemed like every day, one or two or three things went wrong. At the end of the 2 weeks, Eldon said, Thurman, what do you think you did that caused God to do all these devastating things? I mean, see, he's smart enough to know I'd done something. He knows the curse can't come up on me undeserved. I mean, it was amazing the things that happened in that 2 weeks. I couldn't even begin to tell you. But anyway, I said, well, Eldon, I don't know. But I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, would you please reveal to me what I've done wrong the last 2 weeks that's caused all these devastating things to come up on me? I said, thank you, Lord, for the answer. And then I stopped just a second. And I said, that's okay, God, forget it. Eldon said, what do you mean, forget it? I said, Eldon, if he were to start giving me the list, I don't have a sheet of paper and a pen. And I know I couldn't remember them all. So I'll just have to wait till I get something where I got a sheet of paper to write down. I'd be like A.A. Allen when A.A. Allen says, God, we got in his prayer closet and he prayed and he fasted. I mean, he really literally got in a closet and shut the door and began to pray, Lord, I want to know why there is no power in my ministry. I'm a man of God. I preach the word of God. I know what your word says, but nobody gets saved, Harley. Nobody gets healed. Nobody gets delivered in my ministry. I want to know what I'm doing wrong. And he prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted. And finally, one day, he told his wife, he said, I'm going back in that prayer closet and I'm going to pray and fast. And don't you open that door. Don't you let me out until I tell you I've heard from God. So he said, I go back in there and I start praying. And I don't know how long I prayed and fasted. But he said, finally, I don't know, it was a day or two or three or four, whatever it was. He said, my wife started cooking some soup. He said, that smell come underneath the closet door. I told her, I said, honey, let me out. She said, have you heard from God? He said, no, not yet. She said, you told me not to let you out till you hear from God. He said, but honey, I'm starving. I got to have something to eat. So finally, he enticed her, and she opened the door and let him out. He goes over and sits down. She pours him a bottle of that beautiful soup. And he puts his spoon in. He puts one bite in his mouth and bit down on it one time. And the Lord said, is that soup worth more to you than hearing from me? He said, I spit out the soup. I didn't even make another bite. I spit it out. Told her, honey, I'm going back in there. And I'm going to pray and fast until I hear from God. And don't you let me out until I hear from God. He said, I don't know if I was in there two or three more days, whatever it was, but he didn't speak to me right then. But he said, finally, all of a sudden, a light come on, and I thought the sun had come inside my closet. I thought my wife had opened the door with a spotlight, and I turned and looked, and the door was closed. And he said, all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say, you want to know why there's no power in your ministry? I have your answer. And he said, he gave me 13 things that I was doing wrong. He said, after he gave me those 13 things, I said, Lord, the list was so long. He said, I can't remember those that many things. He said, I was down over a box, and I looked down, and there was a little short tubby pencil laying there on the floor. I said, Lord, here's a box, and I got a pencil. Now, would you please give me those 13 things again? So he gave them to him slowly, and he wrote them down, all 13 of them. When he got through, he came out, and he said, okay, honey, God gave me the list. I need to master all of these things. And when I do, he said, there'll be power in my ministry. Some of the things he was able to accomplish within a matter of a few weeks, but some of them took months and months. One or two of them took a couple of years. And those were the ones that the devil told him, you will never master this. I will never let you master this. But he said, I told the devil, I'm going to do it. I don't care what it takes. If it kills me, I'm going to master these things. He said, finally, one day, two or three years later, I'm working on this list. I'm trying my best to do everything God says. And then one day he spoke and said, son, you finally mastered the last one. Now behold, I give unto you power. See, we've read that scripture, behold, I give unto you power. But for most of us, it don't work. And it didn't work for A. Allen until that day. But that day, when he started praying for people and casting out demons, miracles started happening. I mean, some of the greatest miracles ever happened to that man. Some people thought he was crazy, and he was, for Jesus. Went off out New Mexico or Arizona somewhere and bought a bunch of land and was going to build a healing city, a city of righteousness. Was going to build it, but something happened, and he got killed, and he died at like 59 years of age. He paid the price to see God do those great and awesome things. Now then, if we want to see him do those great and awesome things, you understand if he had 13 things, A.A. was a good Christian man walking in obedience to God's word, but he was not able to do what God told him to do, so God wouldn't give him no power. You want to know why we have trouble getting God to answer our prayers? Yeah, we don't do what he says either. Like, truly, like Dave said, you don't have to do all those things to be righteous. But if you want God to answer your prayer and you want to be known as a powerful man of God, you're going to do it God's way and you're going to be holy. If you don't, he ain't going to shed that power on you to go out and cast out demons, heal the sick, and cleanse the lepers and raise the dead if you're living in sin. I don't believe he'll do that at all. You're going to be holy, or you're never going to see that power. And that's where we are today, and that's why the church is living where it's living. That's why we're experiencing what we're experiencing, because we as Christians have not told everybody, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for all the beautiful things you've done for me and my family. Lord, I'm so grateful. And praise him, thank him, worship him. And do everything. And you even try to go to school on Vietnam Day, on Military Day, and they won't let you in a cotton picking school because you ain't got your wife's ID. You fought in the stupid war in Vietnam for them, and then they have Armed Forces Day and invite you to school, and they got all the doors locked at the school, and here you go in as an Armed Forces man that fought for these idiots that are in there, that's calling themselves teachers and principals and everything else. You went to Vietnam, risked your life to fight for these people. And now then they invite you to school to be with your granddaughter on Armed Forces Day. And when you go, they won't let you in because your wife has not got her ID. And I almost bombarded that school for a few seconds. I could have blown the whole place up. That's how mad I was. Do y'all understand where I'm coming from? You don't have to be afraid of a stupid old country boy that's white, you know, that looks like been here all of his life. You don't have to be afraid of him and his wife. But it's that Muslim that's coming in that you let them in. That those are the people you need to be afraid of, not us. But that's where we live. Like I say, I was so mad that day. I told that principal when he finally did come out there, I told him, I said, I can't believe I went to Vietnam and fought for you so you, like an idiot like you, could keep me and my wife out of this place. I said, I can't believe this. You know, I have some very strong opinions about things. And that's just the way I am. I ain't changing. I'm not changing. I'm going to do what God told me to do. But let me tell you, because we are not obeying God, because we're not doing what God says, he said, I didn't say this, God said it in his word. In Deuteronomy 28, he said, because you did not worship. In fact, let's read that before we go to Matthew 6. Put that Deuteronomy 28 Verse 47 up there, and let's look at that. I want you to just see it. Some people say, God would never do that. But look what this says in verse 47. Because you serveth not the Lord your God with lawfulness and with gladness of heart, with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Is that what it said? Okay, because we didn't. Let's see what he says he's going to do in verse 48. Therefore, shall you serve your enemies, which the Lord shall send against you, in hunger and in thirst, and in nakedness and in want of all things. For he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord shall bring a nation against you from far away, from the end of the earth, as swift as the earth, as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand. Verse 50. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. Do y'all know the other day that couple in San Bernardino, California, that man and woman that walked into that place, that school or whatever it was, and begin to kill all those people? Only a few days before, the people that worked in that place had given them a party for their baby and had bought gifts for their baby. Do y'all know that? And then just a few days later, these idiots that had been trained to kill, the ones that God's sending against us, walked in there with their guns and began to kill the people that just give them gifts. That's what they think about you. So you don't ever trust one of them. I've told y'all many a time here, don't ever trust a Muslim. They can look you right in the eye and say, I swear I'm telling you the truth. And if they're a Muslim, they can lie to you, and they can lie to you, and they can do it legally because their Quran tells them to lie to the infidel. It's written. If you hadn't read that book, it talks about cutting your head off with a sword. If I had been taught that, and do you know the young people from the time they're 2 years of age up there required to memorize the Quran? You want to know why? If you've been taught to memorize the Word of God, and the Word of God says you are to love one another. You are never to hurt your brother. You're to pray for your brothers and sisters. You're to pray for those that do evil against you. You're to love them. You're to worship God. You're to praise Him. You're to go to church every time the door's open. You're to serve God and love Him and praise Him and worship Him. You are to tithe. You're to give God good things to people and to God. If you've been taught that and memorized that, and by the time you get 18 years old, all you know is love, love, love. What are you going to do?
Love.
That's it. But if all you know is hate, 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 kill, 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 what do you think you're going to do? You're going to kill them. They've been taught all their life to kill them. And they're taught to kill whoever, whatever nation it is. It doesn't make any difference. France, whoever it is. But I'm just warning you, we're getting close to the end of the year. We only got one more Sunday until the end of the year. And who knows what's going to happen? I hope nothing. I hope nothing. But with everything that's been told me, so if nothing happens, it still doesn't mean it's over. When Cheryl woke up this morning and had that vision of in a mall, and people were carrying long guns, they're fixing to kill people in this mall. You know, the one out in California. Because God was careful. I mean, He'd done something wonderful there. Some of the radio-controlled equipment, the bombs that they were going to set off out there, didn't work. If it had worked, there could have been hundreds of people died that day, not just 14, not 19 or 20 injured. It could have been, instead of 40 people, it could have been hundreds. But that's just like the other day right here in Dallas, North Dallas, when that police officer that was, I believe they knew they were coming. I can't prove this, but I believe that they knew they were coming, and they had an armed police officer off duty without his uniform on, sitting right there in the waiting. And when those two guys walked up with their guns, he killed them both. Y'all remember that? He killed them both. Now, what if they hadn't have known they were coming and they walked in that front door with their AK-47s and started doing, how many people do you think they're going to kill? Lord, a bunch. But that's what they do. That's what they do best. But they knew they were coming. So as soon as that police, that's why the police department never told you who that police officer was. They would not tell. But when they walked in, just think, that happened right here in Dallas. You know, you could have been there that night. And who knows? I'm just telling you, you know, if there's ever a time you needed Psalm 91, it's today. I mean, if you believe Psalm 91 and you can stand on that and you can know you're the righteousness of God in Christ, you don't need to carry a gun. You have the biggest gun in the world. Just like one day me and Cheryl was going somewhere and I had my Bible in one of those bags and the young boy there said, "What do you got in that bag?" I said, "My nuclear bomb." He was startled. He stopped and I says, "You want to see a nuclear bomb?" And he don't know where I'm coming from now. And I unzipped this thing and opened it up and he said, "Oh, that's just a Bible." I said, "But son, that's the greatest bomb on the earth. That right there is God's weapon. That right there will destroy the enemy. It will heal your body." I said, "It's the most powerful nuclear bomb in the universe right there in my hand. It's called the Word of God." Be careful how you do that. Today, they're gun shy. Yeah. This has been several years ago. They wasn't quite so gun shy back in those days. But today, those guys are gun shy because the truth is there. And they know that somebody might have a suitcase nuke. And they will set it off in their hand. You would never do that, but they will. They will. They will kill themselves. Just like that guy on that airliner the other day, that Russian airliner. That guy that blowed up that airliner at 30,000 feet had worked for the airline for years. He'd been an employee. I saw the interview when they asked the guy, "How do you protect yourselves against something like this?" He said, "There is no way." He said, "This guy had been an employee of the company for years. We thought he was a good guy. He'd done his job, everything. And then they're going to go somewhere. So he gets on the airplane and takes all the little canned bombs about that big around, like a soda can. And it had an explosive in it. And he's in the back of the airplane. When the airplane gets up to 30,000 feet, sitting in the back, he triggered the thing and bam, blew him all to pieces. But blew the tail off the airplane too. And the airplane crashed and 224 people died because of one idiot that had been trained to kill. Now then, there obviously was no Psalms 91 people on that airplane. Is that right? If we'd had just one Psalms 91 person, that couldn't have happened. Either that or that guy would have come floating down in a parachute or something. Yeah. Something. But God said he couldn't kill him. You can't kill him. You'll only see it with your eyes. So like I say, when Gerald had that vision, that's kind of scary. When your wife wakes up and says, "Honey, I saw two men in a mall somewhere fixing to kill people." That's a warning. Yeah. It's a warning. Stay away from the malls. Make sure you're walking in obedience to Psalms 91. And if you see, and keep your eyes open when you're going somewhere, look. If you see anybody that looks like they're carrying a weapon, you see anybody that looks like they're, you know, from the Middle East, you know, if they got a beard and they're brown skinned, you know, hey, I don't know if you're Mexican. I don't know if you're Middle Eastern. I don't know who you are, but, you know, I'm going to be careful around you. You know, I don't care what you think. You know, I know Muslims and I know what they do, and I'm not giving them no chance. No chance at all. So be careful. You're just going to have to let the Holy Spirit direct you. Yeah, say, "Lord, today I need wisdom. As I go today, if there's anybody here that's going to hurt me, you warn me. In Jesus' name." Now, if you're walking obedience to Psalm 91, will he do that?
Yes.
He absolutely will. Yep, if you're walking obedience to God's word, or what he might do, you can't ever tell. He will protect you just like Psalm 91. You might walk, and it might be three or four or five of those guys walk right by you and look you right in the eye. And then they walk down the street a little ways, 100 yards or 200 yards, and all of a sudden they start killing people, and you're way down here safe. But did he promise?
Yes.
Do we believe him?
Yes.
But what if you're not walking in obedience to that Psalm 91? What if you're not hiding in the secret place? What if you're not studying the Word at all? What if you hadn't had the Word of God opened in the last week or two or three? You ain't dwelling in a secret place. Y'all understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
Dwelling in the secret place means being with God every day, continuously being in prayer. And I'm warning you because I don't want to see any of you get killed. All of you need to do what God says. You need to be obedient. You need to obey Him. You need to obey His rules because God's Word, just like somebody gave me a sheet of paper a while ago, said, Congress voted in 1982 that the Bible is the Word of God. I thought, well, how about that? I knew that when I was 1 year old. I didn't have to have Congress tell me that the Bible is God's Word. I mean, you know, so what's wrong with these guys up here, you know? Have to vote on the Bible to see if it's God's Word? We've had the Bible forever. It is God's Word, is it not? Yeah, whether you believe it or not, you know, just like somebody told me the other day, well, I made a statement, it's been a long time ago. I said, one thing I do know, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And the guy told me, he said, that's not right. And I said, yes, it is. He said, no, it's not. He said, God said it. It don't make any difference whether you believe it or not.
That's right.
God said it. It's done. You know, it's over. I said, well, I hadn't thought about it like that, but you are absolutely 100% right. Because I see some people say, you know, I don't believe the Bible. Does that make it less true? No. It's true whether you believe it or not. But if you don't believe it, you're in big trouble. And I'm thinking that maybe we ought to really, in the next week or two, starting today, we need to pray for protection. We need to ask God to protect us and our loved ones, because who knows what's going to happen. Some of y'all may or may not know, but we made a tape here a while back, and I made a statement that I know there's some suitcase nukes in certain cities, because I've heard prophets tell me that, so I know they're here. That week, I had a man call me from Dallas, and he said, Pastor Thurman? I said, yes. And he said, I'm so-and-so. I said, well, okay. I said, where do I know you from? He said, I'm the director of security for the Metroplex. And I said, okay, how can I help you? He said, I listened to one of your teachings, and you said that you believe there is a suitcase nuke somewhere in the Metroplex. I said, yes, I did say that. He said, do you have any idea where it might be? I said, no, sir, I don't know where it is, but I certainly believe it's here. I said, why are you calling me? He said, because I'm the security director, and we know there's one here. We just don't know where it is. We're combing this whole Metroplex with a fine-tooth comb every day looking for that nuclear bomb. But he said, it's here. We know it's here. You see what I mean? There's things going on that we don't know. And why is God bringing all this devastation to this country? Because we're not obeying Him. We're not praising Him. If we were praising the Lord, thanking the Lord, we go out of this church and say, oh, I'm glad I had the privilege to go to church today. Glory to God. You get down to the gas station, you're talking to people. As I say, whoa, walk into the gas station, they say, I need a Coke, praise God, or whatever you drink. You know, I know that's against Peggy's rules, but, you know, it's okay. Some people drink Cokes, but I don't drink them anymore since she told me not to, but some people do. If you're going to drink a Coke or a glass of iced tea or whatever you're going to drink, you ought to say, Lord, I thank you for this glass of iced tea. Somebody says, yeah, I don't want you talking about God in here. If you just say, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to talk about God. I love Him with all my heart, and I love living. And so I love God, and I want you to know the best thing ever happened to me was when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And if they kick you out, drive you out, throw you away, that's okay. Just go away praising the Lord. As they kick you out the door, go out the door praising the Lord. Right? Because we have not done that. Now we're going to serve our enemies. That's what that scripture said, isn't it? I don't like serving a Muslim. I don't like serving anybody that God calls my enemy. But anyway, now that we've talked about all that, now we're going to go and tell you, because of the wonderful things you have done for Christmas this year. We have had the biggest Christmas for these orphanages, these kids, that we've ever had. You know, we've now passed over $100,000. Over $100,000 y'all have given. You know, you and many of you in this church have given out of your poverty, out of your abundance, whatever, but you have given. Now then, as you have given and you've done great things, Cheryl has given also. I can't tell you the number of hours that this girl goes out, and some of the rest of you have done the same thing. But she goes and would leave here 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon and get home at 11 or 12 or midnight, and all she done was shop. I mean, shop. She comes home with a Suburban packed. She can't even, one night she couldn't even see out. Couldn't even see the mirrors, you know. It was packed. So So, I mean, she shops, and then she gets all that stuff, and then she categorizes all that stuff. And everybody that wanted this and that, she takes a list, and she writes down who they were and what they got and everything about it. And she knows where every penny went, every penny. She knows exactly where. You talk about record. This girl is a record-keeping woman. I mean, she keeps records. That's why I told her she's so good at it. I told her years ago, I said, the first year I was in the ministry, I kept the records. And I had the ministry done a total of $100,000 worth of giving away tapes and so forth. In that whole year, $100,000 came into the ministry. That wouldn't even start to pay the bills today. Wouldn't even start. You know, but I told Cheryl when she came to me, I said, I don't want to keep records at all. I don't want to know who gives and who doesn't give. Because I said, if I were to look at the giving records and see that John Doe gives $20,000 a year and he makes $1 million, and here's a person over here that makes $20,000 a year and he gave $5,000, I said, I'd have a tendency to be swayed to the man that gives the most. Y'all know where I'm coming from? I would do things for somebody I wouldn't do for somebody else. So if I don't know who gives anything, and I could care less, I know that God is my provider, not y'all. So I don't want to know what you give. I don't want to know. If you never give anything to this ministry, praise God. If you've given $1 million to this ministry, praise God. Because I'm not the one who's going to give you your blessing. God's going to give you your blessing. And we're going to see that in Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 1. That's where we're going to start today. And I'm going to talk about this because of your generosity and your giving to the people. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now then, do you want to be blessed by God or by man? Yeah, I don't want to be blessed by man at all. I want God to bless me. I mean, I know that God, if I do it like he says, if I give everything to everybody with no questions, no nothing, no flags, nothing, just give. You know, that's what he loves. And that's what we need to do. You know, we need to give just like he says. He said, because take heed what you do, that you do not your alms or your giving before men to be seen of them. And some people do, you know, some people really do that. Otherwise, you have no reward. In other words, this owner's manual says, if you give things away and you brag about it or talk about it, what kind of reward are you going to get? None. You might as well keep it because you ain't going to get no rewards. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Wow. Verse 3-4. But when you do it your alms, your gifts, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You know, whatever you give, just give it. You know, don't think nothing about it. When you walk up to the, if you give it in a donation box, the money, you know, this is any kind of giving. This is giving to the church. This is giving to help somebody. This is giving to help the orphans or the people in need. Whatever you're giving for, just when you go up there, just write your amount, sign your name on it, and put it in that box and walk away and say, Lord, that was my privilege to give into your kingdom. Is that the way you should do it?
Right.
Yeah. Lord, it's my privilege to give into your kingdom. Because every penny you have, where did it come from? It came from God. That's exactly right. And we think we're doing this, but this is not us at all. God, if there was ever a time that I found out the hard way that God's in total control of what comes into this ministry, a few years ago, somebody went to Israel and they came back and brought me a copy of the Ten Commandments in Hebrew. Well, I thought that was impressive. I mean, it was pretty, you know, about that wide and rolled up. Ten Commandments in Hebrew. I couldn't read it, but anyway, I had it and I thought, wow, this is great. So I built a frame for it. I put a nice frame around it and everything, and I took it and put it right by the front door on the right-hand side. So everybody can see it when they come in and out. I have the Ten Commandments in Hebrew on the wall. Wow, I was proud of those things, that somebody would think enough of me to bring them from Israel or wherever. And then all of a sudden, the ministry, God has always given us enough money every week to pay our bills. We don't ever ask anybody for money, but God always sends enough. You know, I got people I have to pay. I got CDs and DVDs I have to buy. Radio shows I have to pay for. Television stations I have to pay for. You know, it hadn't been very long back, and back in those days, our cost was around $20,000 a week that we had to pay. You know, that's a lot of money. But God always paid it. You know, he always said we'd go to the mailbox, there'd be a stack of letters in there, and there'd be checks in there, $20, $50, $100, sometimes $1,000, but people gave to the ministry. So I praised him and worshiped him and thanked him for the abundance of all things. Lord, thank you for this money to pay our bills. Sure, would record all the stuff, and I'd take the checks and put them in the bank. And we put this thing out there on the wall, and all of a sudden I go to the post office, and there ain't no checks. There ain't no money in the mailbox. So I thought, well, I wonder what happened to the mail this week. You know, maybe they got, you know, deterred or something here, or a little something. But something happened. So I came back home. I had not been praising. I'd been praising the Lord, worshiping him for the giving of all the money that people give to the ministry. But I went the second day, and I thought, well, probably the mail got hung up somewhere, so I'll probably have a really good bunch of checks tomorrow. Well, I went the second day, and there was nothing. And I went all week, and there was nothing. I had a little money in my own bank account, which I had to go and take some of that out and put in the ministry bank account, had to give a pretty large gift, because I ain't got enough money to pay all the bills and the people. So I thought, wow, God. And so I'm still thinking this is just a fluke, it's going to get over. But when this happened 2 weeks in a row, and there's maybe one or two pieces of mail, a little check for $25 or something, that's all came in for 2 weeks. I'm out of money. I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I got a problem. I don't know what it is, but I know I've done something wrong. You've cut me off. When God cuts you off, you better be aware that you've done something wrong. And I'm not out here gloating. I'm not here saying, oh, look what God did. We're spending all this money. Oh, look how good we are. No, I ain't saying that. I'm praising him and him alone for the money he sends. And I'm paying the bills. But all of a sudden, we ain't got none. He says, be anxious for nothing. When you get behind that far, all of a sudden, you kind of get anxious. Lord, what did I do wrong? And so anyway, that Sunday on church, I mean, we hadn't had nothing come. I mean, if something drastic don't happen by next week, I'm going to have to borrow money to make the ministry run, and I've never had to do that. And I just ain't going to do that. And so I said, Lord, I must have done something wrong. Yeah. And Cheryl said we did in the process of those next few weeks. We let five people go because we couldn't pay them. But if I ain't got the money, what can I do? Pray. That's what I can do. I can pray. And so that finally, that Sunday, we hadn't had no money in like 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, we are out of money. I mean, we are just like the Lord says there, we were out. So I told the whole church about this, and I said, you know, I want y'all to pray with me and ask God what I've done wrong. It's got to be me. It's got to fall on the pastor. I said, I'm the one he's put in charge of this. I had to do something wrong for him to cut me off like this. I said, so y'all pray and ask God to show somebody what we've done so I can repent. And so anyway, we all prayed. We prayed at church that day. We all prayed. People went home. And then we stayed late praying. And finally, there was a couple that went way off. That lived an hour and a half away from here. They pulled up in their front yard, and the Lord spoke to her and told her, the problem is the Ten Commandments on the wall in Thurman's church in Hebrew. You remember that, Miss Jackie? You remember that too, huh, Kim? Yeah. Some of y'all were here when that happened. And so they drove all the way back up here and walked in and said, Thurman, we don't know what's wrong with the Ten Commandments on the wall, but the Lord said, that's the problem. So I'll go over there and look at that Ten Commandments, and I'm looking at it from top to bottom, and when I get right up to the top, I see the Star of David. And right in the middle of the Star of David is the red dot of the Muslims. The Muslim Allah red dot, right in the middle. I said, God, there it is. How did I miss that? So I ripped them off the wall. I burned them, took them outside, set them on fire, burnt the whole thing, and I repented. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry I let the devil deceive me. I said, Lord, I want to thank you for telling me what I did wrong. Now, I've destroyed that Muslim red dot. I've destroyed those Ten Commandments with that star on there with a Muslim red dot in the middle. And I've repented for my sins. Now, I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. And that was on Sunday. Monday morning, about 10 o'clock, I go to the post office. And I can't get the box door open. It is so full of checks. That was unbelievable. You know, I mean, it was awesome to think. I had to get them to go in and get a bag, a box, one of those big ones, and put all the mail in it and had to get it out of the front. I couldn't get it through my post office box. I brought that box home. That thing, it's like every check was still there for every day, but it had not one single check, maybe one or two, got through to us. But let me tell you, when we got all that money, when we got all those checks opened, and Cheryl got all that counted, all those weeks I was behind, we had enough money to pay all the bills. You want to know who's in charge? There's no question who's in charge. You know that? It's God. And will He cut you off? Yes, He will. So when you read things in the owner's manual about how to do things, you better do it His way, because He can cut you off. I mean, He did us. He did us. He will, if you let it do it, everything in secret, then He Himself shall reward you openly. Let's go to verse 5. And when you pray, you should not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Now, that may be where some of us lose it. If we're arrogant with His word, when you're praying for people, you need to do it the right way, being led by the Holy Spirit. But don't be arrogant, because don't try to cut people down in what they say. They say something and you know they're totally wrong. Don't belittle them. Don't make fun of them, because that's not God's way. He will never do that. But that's what the hypocrites will do. You know, the hypocrites will stand over there and say, oh, I'm okay. I mean, you know, praise God. I love God with all my heart. And, you know, the guy may not be as holy as he thinks he is, but they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into the closet, and when you have shut the door. Now, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. Back in these days, when this was written, I don't think the little Jewish homes had a closet with a door on it that would close. So what is he talking about here? What did Jesus have? What did Jesus carry around him all the time? The prayer shawl. That's exactly right. The prayer shawl. You know, does anybody in here have a prayer shawl? Okay, some of you do. Yeah, I have one too. In fact, as I was reading this morning, as I was looking at this scripture, I thought, you know, I haven't got my prayer shawl out for a long time. But I opened the door, and there it was right on top. I took it out and opened it all up, and I put it over myself, and I thought, okay. He says, enter into my prayer closet. So I'm going to hide in the secret place. I'm going to pull my prayer shawl, my closet, up over my head. And then I'm going to bow down and I'm going to pull the thing together. And when I do, I'm closing the door. Now I'm inside that prayer shawl, which is me and Jesus, me and the Lord. So when I pray, the enemy can't get in there because I'm in the secret place. I'm there with the Word of God. You know, in other words, I don't remember all the details about all the 613 laws and the little tassels and all the stuff, but it's all on there. I feel ashamed that I don't know enough about it. I should know more about that thing. But I do know that when Jesus prayed, I remember watching the book of Matthew on video one time years ago, and every time Jesus would pray, He would get down and He would pull that prayer shawl up and pull it over His head. And I still remember that. And I thought, you know, that's the closet He entered. And I guess if you had a real closet in your house that you go in, I guess it would be okay to use that and close the door. But I really think that the real way to get our prayers answered is to have a prayer shawl and to cover ourselves up. I felt so humbled, or whatever you want to call it, this morning in my office, standing there with my prayer shawl over me, with my shoulders, and then to pull that thing up over my head and pull it together in the front, thinking, I am in the secret place. I'm literally in the secret place with God. And he says, in the secret place, what can I come and ask for? Anything. To those that dwell in the secret place. I just feel that's maybe, if you don't have one of those, maybe you should find you one or get you one. Or this all kind. I mean, Jeff goes to Israel every once in a while. And maybe the thing would be to do was next time he goes, or maybe there's somebody here you know that has them. John Hagee has them? Okay. And as long as they get it in Israel and it's made in Israel, so I think that would be wonderful. But I really think that would probably be really something. And if we're going to eventually start this prayer, praying for others, I think that it would be good if we could have a prayer shawl so that when we do, we could do exactly what the scripture says, that we enter into our prayer closet and close the door. So if you enter into your prayer closet, I got to thinking as I'm reading this morning, thinking that to go into my closet, they didn't really have a closet as such with a door on it in those Jewish homes. So I think with all my heart, they're talking about the prayer shawl. Don't you agree with that?
Yes.
So said he says, maybe seen of men, verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet. And see, when you're there in your house or whatever, with this prayer closet, with the door shut, you know, things pulled over your head and pulled together, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and your Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. So he will hear your prayer, and he will answer you. Next verse, 6, 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. And you know, that to me, that's always been such an awesome thing, to think that God knows every need I have, but he don't give me anything until I ask. It don't happen. I think of the things that I've needed and I've loved to have, or maybe even fussed about them or whatever, I never thought to pray. You know, I mean, just like, I mean, Cheryl and I, we have this little deal. And I know many of y'all have had this little situation that, you know, you're doing something that is so simple. And of course, me being an engineer and building stuff and all kinds of stuff all my life, I know how things are done, lots of things. And I know how to do something, and I'm there working on something, and I can't make it happen. It ain't happening. And then I get frustrated, and I get to thinking, well, my Heavenly Father, he knows that I need this thing to work, and it won't work. And so, you know, just like the day that Cheryl, her fuel pump went out on her car and her Suburban, Mike told me, said, if you can get it to start, drive it over, it'll run. Once it gets started, it'll run so you can get it over, and we won't have to tow it. And so I said, okay. So I went out there, and I'm beating on the tank and everything else and telling her, try it. And she's trying, and it won't start. And I said, this stupid thing ain't going to start. And she said, you haven't prayed about this yet. Did the Lord tell us to pray about everything? Why can't we be so hard-headed? I hope y'all are not like me, but I'm still a man. And so Cheryl said, I'm going to pray. I said, okay, honey, it's your car. You can pray if you want to. So she said, Lord, make the fuel pump work in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. She said, now then, I'm going to hit the starter, and I guarantee it's going to crank. And I thought, yeah, sure it is. And she hit the starter, and it started. Why are we so stupid? Why are we so hard-headed? Why can't we just be like God told us to be? He said, I know what you have need of even before you ask. But I hadn't asked. But she did ask, and she got her answer. You see what I mean?
Yes.
If we would learn only to pray. Next verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, when you pray like that, if you look at what he just said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You think he really wants things to be done on earth as it is in heaven? And why is it not there? Why do we not see it? That's right. We don't pray. We don't pray. So if we pray, just like Jeff and Dave, especially Jeff, I think yesterday when he was talking about the healing school, it's either him or Dave one, they talked about how that God does nothing on the earth except use a man. So he doesn't do anything except you pray, and he answers your prayer. So if we don't pray, nothing happens. Next verse, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now then, okay, let's go on to the next verse, 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for you are the kingdom, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Well, verse 15, let's see what happens if we don't. But if you refuse, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now just think, if we don't read this owner's manual and we don't know what it says, once somebody does something to us and we get into a grudge with them and you have not asked for forgiveness, you have just cut yourself off from God. He will not answer your prayer if you do not forgive somebody that done something to you. Now, you know how much trouble you can get into if God does not forgive you? You can get into big trouble because you can't get your prayer answered. When you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces and they appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. In other words, don't go around with a sad face, you know, when you're trying to fast. And don't do it like this young girl down at Dallas. When we were over in Dallas, I taught on fasting one time, and this young lady, she come up to me and said, I'm going to go on a 40-day fast. I said, have you ever done a 40-day fast? She says, no. I said, well, if you have not, I said, after 10 or 15 days, for sure don't go over 15 days without food, without being at home and staying at home. I said, do not get out. Do not get in the car. Do not drive. She said, why? I said, well, because I did an 18-day fast one time, 18 and a half. And I said, in the process of doing that, I pulled right up out here in front of this church at 18 days. And when I stopped and got out of the car, when I stood up, everything in the world disappeared. I stood there for about 30 seconds. And all of a sudden, everything came back. Do you know if you're driving down the road at 60 miles an hour, you know how long 30 seconds is? You know how much territory you can cross over? You can get killed. So I told her, I said, that happened to me. And I said, so if that happened to me and I'm in good health and good shape, I suggest that you don't go past 15 days, that after 15 days, you don't drive no more. You know, don't drive at all. Stay at home and just drink water and no food and pray and read God's word. Well, she said, okay, I will, but said, I think I can go further than that. I said, ma'am, please listen to me. Well, the next Sunday, she didn't miss Sunday, the next Sunday, but the next Sunday she was there and she had all kinds of cuts and bruises all over her face. I said, what happened to you? She said, I didn't do what you said. And said, I went 21 days and I went down to the courthouse to do some paperwork, and coming down the concrete steps at the courthouse, I blacked out. And she said, I fell on the steps going down head first and it ripped her head open. She had to take 3 or 4 or 5 stitches and on and on and on. You see what kind of trouble we get into when we don't obey rules, you know? So there's not anything wrong with fasting, but if you go past 10 days fasting, if you're gonna fast no food and only water, no food whatsoever, no drinks or anything, make sure you stay at home. Don't be out there. People don't need to know what you're doing. If you're fasting, you don't need to be out there telling people that I'm fasting. You know, because the Lord says, you need to not do that. When you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Next verse. But yeah, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you may appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. So when you give, when you pray, when you fast, you should do it secretly in your prayer closet. Now then, like I say, if you've got a prayer closet somewhere, a place at home where you get in it and close the door, that's okay. I mean, I've done that before myself. I have seen God answer many prayers from a prayer closet. But I just got to thinking today that it looks like the prayer closet they used was the prayer, what do you call it? Yeah, the prayer shawl. That's what I was trying to say, yeah. And so when you go into that, I really think that, like Dave was stressing, to dwell in a secret place is to dwell in God's Word. I can't think of a better place to be praying would be in your prayer closet with the door closed, with your prayer shawl over you, with it pulled out. You're really protected. You know, you're really in a place of protection from the enemy, and God will hear your prayer, and nobody will know you're there. You're in secret, and you can pray, and you can ask Him, you can fast, you can do whatever you want to, and God is going to bless you because He knows what your needs are. So if you ask Him, He will bless you. And I believe that with all my heart. So anyway, for those of you that have given, the Lord tells us when we give here to give it in secret. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And of course, every year, you'd think after 14 years, I'd finally get a hold of this, but I haven't. Every time we go down there, of course, Cheryl asked me to pray over the food before we feed all these kids. And do you know that I still to this day, I can hardly pray without crying. For the simple reason, you know, I look out at all those kids and I think, you know, except for the grace of God, one of them kids could have been me. It could have been you. But you know, if you're blessed, if you've got a home to go to tonight, you got a mate that loves you, you got a car to drive and the pavements are up, you ought to be hugging your mate and telling him or her how much you love them. You know that? But out of all that, you need to be telling who? You need to be telling the Lord how much you love Him and how much you praise Him. And because we have not done that for the abundance of all things, He give us all things. And if we have not praised Him and worshiped Him, He says He will send our enemy against us to destroy us. And people don't believe God will do that, but we're seeing this happen in America right now. I mean, never has there been a time when government has been so against government. You know, when the governor of the state of Texas says, nobody comes in here until we check them out. And the president of the United States says, executive order, send hundreds of them down to Texas. And they're going to do it anyway. And they're doing it right now. It's happening. They're here. Yeah, but there's literally hundreds of them coming in there. And some of those people may be peace-loving people, but if they're a Muslim, you can't trust them until they convert to a Christian, as long as they say they're a Muslim. And just like the other day, I was watching a show, and it said that there was some Muslim there saying, we have won 4,000 American Christians to Muslim. I thought, no. You might have converted 4,000 people that called themselves a Christian, but anybody that ever is a Christian, if you're really a Christian, you ain't never going to serve Allah. You ain't never. You're smarter than that. I guarantee, you know. So if somebody says they converted a Christian, I'm going to be just like John when he says, nope, they might have been here and said they were of us, but they were not, because if they had been of us, they would never have left. And so that's written in God's Word. So I can assure you, I am a Christian, and I can guarantee you one thing, you won't never find my name on no Muslim, nothing, you know, because I'm not going to serve Allah. I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So anyway, praise God. So I want to again I just want to read over all this to show you what you should do, and I want to thank each one of you again, everybody that helped with this $100,000. I know it come from many, many places, but a lot of you in this room have given a lot to this and to bless these children. And I am grateful, and I thank the Lord for each one of you and what you've done to serve Him. And the good year we've had at this church, we are still in the black, well in the black. We're not in the red, never have been, except that one time that I told you about, and that's over. We won't ever do that again. So Father, I thank You and praise You for all these folks that come here every Sunday, that worship You and praise You, that give of their abundance to support Your ministry, support the radio, TV shows, everything that we do, the CDs, the DVDs, the tens of thousands of CDs and DVDs that we've mailed out all over this world. Lord, thank you for sending people to pay that bill. Of course, I know you pay it through them. But we thank you for taking such good care of us, making pay every bill we have so that we will end up this year in the black. And we're not in the red at all. We're in the black. And I thank you, Lord, for blessing us and taking such good care of all of us. I thank you for keeping us well and healthy and happy. I thank you that you're the God that we can come to and serve, and you will answer even before we pray. You know what we have need of. So, Lord, we thank you for healing us, delivering us, making our bodies work like they're supposed to, and all the wonderful things that we need that you're going to meet this year as we go, and you're going to keep us all safe from these Muslim terrorists that are coming into this part of the country. Lord, and Lord, as I know, I just believe with all my heart, there's going to be some kind of a terrible strike in the next few months, maybe even days. But I thank you for watching over your people, because you promised to protect your people. So, Lord, we're thanking you in advance for protecting your people from any kind of physical harm. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for speaking to us by the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we go somewhere, if we get into a dangerous area, may your Spirit tell us where to go. Lord, I thank you the other day when I was driving down the road and the sun was right in my eyes and I couldn't hardly see anything in front of me. And you spoke so clear and said, son, watch for the bicycle. And Lord, I slowed down, pulled over to the left just a little and passed a young boy riding on a bicycle right on the right side of the road. Lord, I thank you for the Spirit that teaches us and shows us how to do things. We are so grateful, Lord. We want to praise you and thank you and worship you for the abundance of all things that you've given us. And we thank you for continuing to do that to each one of us, every one of us. May you direct us and may you bless us and may you move on our hearts that we would pray and talk to you and realize that you are the living God and that all we got to do is love you and serve you. And then you said that when our enemies come against us, you'll make them run from us in seven directions. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for protecting us. And we thank you for giving us a good week. We thank you for giving us a great party tomorrow with all those youth, those orphans that are going to get all these wonderful gifts, Lord, that they're going to be so happy tomorrow when they open all these gifts. Their hearts are going to be blessed beyond their wildest dreams. And Lord, it all came from you. So we praise you and thank you, Lord, for blessing us that we can bless them. And I thank you for everybody that took part in this. And I ask you to put a supernatural blessing upon every human being that's given into this ministry to give gifts to these children. So, Lord, we praise you and thank you for blessing us and taking good care of us. And now we thank you for watching over us and protecting us this week. And we just give you all the praise and glory and honor as we go from here today. May we continue to praise you and worship you and thank you because you are the living God, and you are our Lord and our God. And we love you, Lord, and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.